Dave Carney back here live, WKTY La Crosse, 96.7 FM, 580 AM. Thanks again to our Fest family for stopping in studio. John Denton, our sports betting insider, here with me on the Stone Distribution Talking Text Line. Johnny, I don't know if they celebrate it in Iowa. We never saw this in Las Vegas. Oktoberfest, is that a big deal where you are?
I don't think so. The only thing I remember about Oktoberfest is the beer fest, the beer garden right down there by UNLV. What's it called? The Big Bavarian Beer House.
Well, the beer house, right? It actually is. Wait, gosh, what, the Hofbrauhaus. Thank you. I'm like, wait a second. Hofbrauhaus. What do we call this place? It's the Hofbrauhaus.
There you go. Hofbrauhaus. That's the only thing I know about Oktoberfest.
Well, dude, let me tell you, Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and I had no idea about this until I moved out here 5 years ago. Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Wisconsin is the largest Oktoberfest celebration in the country. We're a town of about 50,000. Now, our surrounding areas, we've got about 200,000 people, but there is going to be another 200,000 people in town this weekend, John, for this Oktoberfest celebration. It's nuts. I'll be live at Sloopy's Alma Mater tomorrow morning from 6 to 9. And guess what? They're drinking at 6. It is a pre-fest party. These people, they take it, like, really seriously.
Any bar that's named Sloopy's, I'm all over it, man. I love it.
It's awesome, man. They've got the Big Ten burger, a whole bunch of awesome beers. And tomorrow morning, you get $6 breakfast sandwiches, bloodies, and $4 brats. It's going to be a fun time. JD, We're looking to get back on track this week in our John Denton special. We haven't been running a great streak recently, but we've just started. College football, pro football has just started. What are your thoughts? What are you going to do to get back on track with us this week, dude, so we can have a tasty Oktoberfest John Denton special?
Well, as I said Tuesday, it started Sunday night when I got off the plane, and I immediately went to the southeast side of the town and got into the smoky filled little casino with the little sports bar and the little sports book on the side, and just kind of got some of those pheromones going
the
again,
juices.
Right? So I think it started there. And I think what happened, you know, what I went back into this week is just looking at a little bit more film, looking at a little bit more tape on YouTube of some of these games, as opposed to staying stuck in the trenches with the trends and analysis, right? And I think, as we've always said, you know, don't let those trends and analysis, right, be the nail in the coffin for you. Allow them to steer you one way or another. And I think the last couple of weeks I've really hammered down on a couple trends that are a couple system plays that I thought were good. But there's a complete difference. And I found out this week, learning as we go, there's a difference between system plays and angles and team trends and angle. So what I mean by that is that there's great system trends that a lot of teams may fit in, but you have to look specifically at how that team is in a certain situation and find out those team angles. And, you know, from, I'll give you an idea, is that, you know, Penn State, right? I looked this up, and Penn State doesn't have a very good against the spread record and kind of been up and down lately. But when you look at situational plays, Coach James Franklin is 15-2 against the spread after he wins but doesn't cover. So last game he won, he doesn't cover. The next game he comes in, he's 15-2 against the spread. So when you look at it and you think in things like that, like coaches understand that, we didn't cover last game, right? We didn't do as well as people expected us to do. We're going to come out and lay the wood, the next time. So stuff like that is some of the stuff that I paid attention to this weekend. From the college angle, I just went back and I looked at, honestly, I just looked at film. I looked at a couple games, and I got two plays that I feel really strong about. I've already bet them. I'm taking Texas San Antonio, UTSA, -21 against my hometown running Rebels.
You know, and let me just ask you real quick, though. The Rebels surprisingly covered that 31-point spread. They lost by 8 to Fresno. So you're thinking that UTSA, they cover this 21?
I do. And I'll give you a couple of reasons why. UNLV jumped out to a big lead, 14-0 last week. They had their the first win in their grasp. Right, it was snatched from him at the end from a great second half by a guy who's now the front runner to win the Heisman. Right, so you're talking about defeat, like doubled over in a few times. And I know for a fact the quarterback position, they don't have the number one quarterback playing. They have a true freshman that's going to play. He's been playing a little bit this year, but he is definitely not the caliber of the QB1 that has been hurt. That is, he's probably about a 40%. He's doubtful. So if he plays, he's not going to be 100%. And I'll give you a couple different reasons why this. I think this game gets over early.
Okay.
Is that you have 81 plays per game Texas San Antonio is running. UNLV averages about 50.
Wow.
So you're talking about a 30-play
wow.
differential. And even on the season, Texas San Antonio is averaging 21 more plays than their first four opponents. So you talk about a team that just gets on the ball and goes. And I don't think that bodes well with UNLV and how much the defense has been on the field this year. But then you turn around and, hey, you get a stop and you need that offense to go and take 10 minutes off the field, or, you know, off the clock. And it just isn't going to happen this week. So I really do think the pace is going to outweigh what UNLV brings to the table. And I definitely do think you get Texas San Antonio into the 50s this weekend.
Okay. I mean, this Texas San Antonio team, and it's not just this season either. This has been a fast-paced team for what, the last 4 or 5 years? Who's the head coach of UTSA?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly who it is. I mean, I know I think he came over from, it's either Sam Houston State,
yes.
one of the FCS schools.
Yeah, I think so.
That,
I think so.
Threw the ball 800 times a game.
UTSA, it's interesting that you mentioned the play clock, or the play count, excuse me. I was digging into some numbers, not last year during the COVID year, but the year before. Our buddy Rob Misch, who writes for the Chicago Sun-Times and Gaming Today, but lives out there in Vegas, he was talking to me about UTSA and their really high play count and what that does to opponents. So, yeah, minus 21 versus the Rebels, I guess that's a pretty fair bet. I looked at that Fresno State game, and I felt all of a sudden heartened. I was like, whoa! The Rebels, they scored some points. They put it up on a team like Fresno State. That was fun.
And this is one of the, I'm pretty sure, I haven't looked at the schedule. I don't have it up, but I'm pretty sure that they play Reno next week too, at home, at Allegiant Stadium for the Cannon, right, for the biggest trophy in college football. So I think this is kind of a flat week for them, right? They're going out of conference to Texas. I mean, the only thing that I've tried to come up with some reasons why UNLV can come to the table here, and I think they've got 12 or 13 players from Texas. I only think two of them start. So I think that angles out, right? But I really do think UTSA just outpaces them.
Yeah, I like that. That's why we have you on, John Denton, our sports betting insider. I'm getting a message from listener Old School who's like, if John doesn't make the Packers 36-6 over the Steelers this weekend, his lock of the week, we've got questions. You know, that's something that I know I want to get back into, this Packers-Steelers game, because I just want to ask you about Big Ben. But I like this play. Yeah. What else you got for college football here, John? And when is this game? Is this a Friday night or is this a Saturday game?
No, this is a Saturday game. It's a Saturday game. I think it's Saturday evening. The other game I'm taking is, again, going back into just kind of an eye test and a team that I've watched a few times.
Sure.
And I've watched the other team a few times. And we're going to go Friday night. We're going to go to Maryland, Iowa.
Ooh,
Iowa's
okay.
Laying 3 points, right? And you look at that right away and you go, okay, Iowa, number 5 in the country, Maryland, 4-0. You know, there's a lot of telltale signs here that point me to Iowa. And I've seen Iowa play. I read the news. I get the full feed of Iowa athletics where I'm at in Iowa. And I tell you, they have a championship level defense. And when Maryland, the best defense that they've played is West Virginia, who again was a highly rated defense coming into the season, but after four games, kind of in the 60-70 range in total defense, so they weren't as good as they were pegged. Maryland's had a cupcake schedule. You look at the schedule that Iowa's played. Yes, they just had a little, I would say a scare with Colorado State, but I watched that game and I know a couple coaches on the Colorado State team, and those guys play physical. They run the ball. They don't huddle. So they play a kind of an awkward style of offense. And again, to come out on top 24-10 after being tied at halftime, shutting them down in the second half, really shows that the focus is there for these guys. And Kirk Ferentz said it this week in one of the articles, is that, look, this is a Big Ten game. This is a statement game for us, right? This is how we start our path onto Indianapolis. And I really believe that. Longest tenured coach in the FBS, I'm back in -3, Iowa, tomorrow night in a primetime game, which Iowa doesn't normally get to play in
a
primetime game. So Now they're going to get to show that why they're the number five team in the country.
You know what? I like this play so very much. And the -3, it seems almost disrespectful to Iowa. But I do think that what you have here is an overvalue of Maryland. And again, I understand that they're a Big Ten team. But you just hit on it perfectly. The schedule they've played has been just, it's been nothing. There's been nothing to see there, which is going to be too bad for our friend Bob Ibeck, who joins the program at 8:15 this morning. He's a Maryland alum, but he played basketball there, so he shouldn't get too offended. Real quick, one of our listeners, Jason Breacher, John, sent us over this info. It's Jeff Taylor, and Jeff Taylor is the UTSA coach. He came over in 2019, had been an assistant at a number of programs, including even Arkansas. So that is the head coach there for UTSA.
Gotcha.
Let me ask you a couple of questions, because I've been looking at a couple of different things. One of them is a college game, the Badgers versus Michigan. The other is this Packers versus Steelers game. The question I've got for the Steelers-Packers game really isn't about how the game's going to turn out, the handle, whatever. I know old school says 36-6. I don't know if it's going to be like that. I do have Green Bay -7 as one of my top value plays in the NFL this week. But what are your thoughts about Ben Roethlisberger? Because last weekend against Cincinnati, Ben looked like he was just cooked, John. I mean, he couldn't play. That fourth down, I mean, the Steelers needed a conversion. He checks down to a running back. I know his pec is injured. Mike Tomlin has already held him out of practice this week. If Big Ben completely melts down and the Packers, let's just say they beat the stuffing out of Pittsburgh on Sunday, do you think it's time for Pittsburgh to move on from Ben in season? Should they wait till after the season, or do they just stick with this guy because realistically it's all they've got?
That was the answer to the poll question today, was I think they stick with him, and just because I think they ride it out, and I think they probably will sporadically play the two younger guys if they start nosediving as far as a record goes this season. But, you know, when you look at some of the stuff that they're trying, I mean, their offensive line is in shambles, right? So I think Big Ben realizes that, and the offensive coordinator is, you know, you got to give him credit. Big Ben is probably, from what I understand and what I've read, is doing more play action, doing more RPOs, doing, you know, more sprint out rollouts than he's probably done in the last five, six years, just because they're trying to get him, you know, out of the pocket and out of harm's way. But, you know, when you're 6'5", 250, and you're 30, you know, high 30s, you know, your body probably doesn't want to roll out 5-10 times a game, right? You just want to sit there and chuck and duck it. But
right,
they got to roll with him the rest of the year. They have to. He's not only because he's, you know, the money maker, he's making all the money, but again, I don't think they have the answer to him in the quarterback room right there. So,
you know,
I just think they roll with him.
And that's kind of the way that I've looked at this thing, too. Unless something just so drastically bad happens, I kind of feel like they do that. And
yeah,
for Green Bay Packer fans, I mean, this is something to consider. I realize that Jordan Love is the draft pick. Wasn't all of our favorite picks, right? It wasn't mine. It wasn't Joe's. It wasn't any of our favorite picks. But at least the Packers have shown you that they believe in somebody enough to go out there and make a move to acquire him, that in the event, God forbid, Aaron has to go down for an injury, or, you know, the more likely scenario, he just leaves next year, you've got somebody for Green Bay that the folks behind the scenes have actually believed in. That's not the case with Dwayne Haskins, or for what that's worth, Mason Rudolph, who I think was a third-round pick out of Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be tough sledding for the Steelers, and they're kind of married to this guy for the rest of the year. Restructuring his contract, even so, it doesn't negate the fact that you're right. They're paying this dude a ton of money, and it's hard to bench a guy that's making $20 million. I mean, it's really hard to bench a guy that's making that much coin. John, before we let you go, though, I want to touch on the Wisconsin Badgers, who are a team that, listen, we all pull for out here on WKTY, and we want to see them do good. I'm all for that. But this Wisconsin Badgers quarterback, Graham Mertz, is really over his skis. I just don't know that he has got what it takes, and maybe he eventually turns into something. That's not completely off the table, but for right now, Mertz just is awful. And what you saw last week, the complete meltdown against Notre Dame, the Badgers defense was giving them what for as long as they could. They just simply couldn't move the football. And John, last week, the Badgers were giving up 6.5 points. I couldn't understand that for the life of me. This Saturday, they're giving up 1.5 points. I know they're hosting Michigan, but Michigan's number 14 in the country. The Badgers have fallen out of the top 25. I think I trust Jim Harbaugh more than I trust Paul Chris, at least a little bit. What's your take on this game here? Because I'm seeing Michigan plus the points as like the easiest money on the board.
And often those times are the ones where you want to run from the bets you're about to make, right? I think I've learned that.
Okay,
from,
that's fair, like, too.
Somebody is trying to sucker somebody here in this scenario. I tell you, I think I bet Wisconsin last week.
You did.
You did. I can't remember.
You had a minus 6.5 over Notre Dame.
Thanks for letting me.
We all suffered through that one.
I was undervaluing Wisconsin before last week, and I think the instant overreaction, right, is to keep them undervalued, right? But I don't know. I think with the defense and Michigan's inability for big plays and the kind of the similar style of running games, sure. I understand the low point spread here, but I definitely think it should be favored in Michigan and from Michigan's standpoint. But if they don't get some quarterback play from Mertz, it's going to be a long Saturday, as we saw. You got to take shots. It doesn't seem like he's taking shots downfield, and then immediately hits the check down. You know, 1, 2, 3, hit that plant throw, and then immediately hits the check down. For me, you're just not believing in your reads, or you're just not believing in yourself. So I don't know. I'm not touching any more Wisconsin games this year.
I don't blame you, man. I really don't, because Wisconsin, again, the defense, it is what we expected it to be. Jim Leonard's defense is stout, and they've got some real playmakers out there, no doubt. The offense, and again, I'm not trying to pick on this kid, Graham Mertz, because I realize that this is kind of his real true redshirt freshman year. But I just expected a lot more. He was so highly touted, John. Everybody looked at this guy as the first real and true star QB that Wisconsin could develop through a 4 or 5 year program. And then I look at what knocked out in that Notre Dame game. Jack Cohen's not exceptional, but boy, he was a lot better than Mertz, which is saying something. Jack Cohen didn't even finish the game.
Yeah, well, if I had to make any play in this game, it would be under the 43.5 or under
that's
44.
A solid play. That's the one I would probably look at, too. I mean, heck, last week Michigan beat Rutgers 20-13. Yeah, if these two teams combine for 43 points, I'm going to be shocked.
Yeah, you got a similar type defense in Rutgers that you do in both of these defenses, right? Stout against the run. It's exactly what they like to do. You know, immovable force versus what impenetrable object or whatever that saying is, right? I think that's what we're going to see, and I wouldn't even be surprised to see like a 13-7 game or something on Saturday night.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. The game will be kicking off the Saturday big noon, I believe it'll be kicking off at 11. But I love the plays that you've got for us. If you're just joining, John Denton is our sports betting insider. The Big Ten play for Friday night: Iowa -3 taking on Maryland. Saturday, UTSA, the University of Texas at San Antonio, -21 versus John's alma mater, the UNLV Rebels, who did cover that 31-point spread versus Fresno State last week. I was surprised to see they only lost by 8. John, as always, thank you much. Our audience loves you, and we can't wait to talk to you again on Tuesday. Going to be a lot to unpack on Tuesday. We've got a really big slate of NFL games, including Tampa Tom going to New England to face Belichick. I am so excited for that one, I can't tell you.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that one and, getting back on track this weekend. And have a good weekend, guys.
Absolutely. Follow my man John on Twitter, Johnny Utah, JONNY_Utah, YUTAH. This afternoon, WKTYSports.com, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll have the Rockies Daily Play sports betting column, and that will be today's John Denton special. Stay tuned, guys and gals, 8 o'clock, which means I got to go. Scott Robert Shaw will be back at the little WYZM news update. I'll update this morning's Flipside Pub and Grill daily poll question when we come back. What are your thoughts about Big Ben? John says basically the Steelers have to stick with this guy because they've got nowhere else to go, and he makes a ton of money. Those are fair points. What about you? If the Packers really run the Steelers out of Lambeau Field and Big Ben, let's say he is torn to shreds, do you think the Steelers make a move and they move on from him? It's an interesting question. At 8:15 this morning, our good friend Bob Ibeck joins the program. 8:40-ish, we'll be talking to Tom Sawyer, Winona State Warriors head coach. Stay tuned. Hour 3, just getting started.